Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
And I'm going to give some overview as we begin this because there is actually so much rich material here. I'm going to go through some facts, but I wanted to talk to you for a few moments about what Jesus did in each of the miracles, in both of the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000 and also the feeding of the 4,000. Each time Jesus took what was given to him, the small lunch and the loaves, and he broke them before and gave thanks before he multiplied them. And he did it in the feeding of the 5,000. He also did it in the feeding of the 4,000. And this is symbolic of the fact that Jesus would eventually, his own body would be broken, because we see as he broke this bread, there was enough for everybody to have a piece and to have some of it. In fact, they had enough to where they were satisfied, and even more than satisfied, enough to give others. There's a spiritual application there, because as Jesus sat at the Passover with his disciples, what did he do? He had broke the bread in the two miracles and gave it to people, and they all had enough and were sustained and satisfied and enough to give other people leftovers. And at the Passover, it's symbolic. He broke the bread, symbolic, and gave it to the disciples. And then they were, for the rest of their days, to continue multiplying that bread of life, and giving it to others. And we as his disciples continue the breaking of the bread and giving it to others. So in brokenness, there is also multiplication. I want to begin by saying that. And this is a miracle that really has my heart. In this miracle, we're going to talk about the 5,000 tonight. The five loaves and two fish, we know, fed 5,000, which is, the five loaves are representative of the five books of the law. The law does not sustain. It teaches us only Christ sustains. And when everyone was finished eating, there were exactly 12 baskets which were left over. Remember, there were 12 baskets, and people will tell you, well, those were 12 baskets for each of the disciples to take home. That is not in the Bible. It may be tradition, or you may think that's kind of cool that there were 12 disciples. The 12 is actually representative of the 12 tribes of Israel, that there was so much bread when Christ broke it that there was enough for any tribe you belong to, that there was enough. It was symbolic in the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I want you to see something else. In the feeding of the 4,000, and we're going to talk about the differences tonight between the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. In the feeding we see of the 5,000, there were not 12 baskets left over. There were 7 baskets left over. What is 7 symbolic of, other than the number is completion? It means completion. We're complete in Christ, but there's more. 7 represents 7 days. So there is enough for all the tribes and 7 days, and it also represents something else that you may or may not know. Maybe you do. It represents the 7 Gentile nations. There are to this very day 7 Gentile nations. So what this means to us is Jesus fed all of the tribes of Israel and all of the Gentiles forever and ever and ever and ever, and continues to multiply. And so this is a cool miracle, and they were all fed, and they were fed daily. 7 days a week were fed, right? 7 baskets, 7 days a week were fed. And why does it matter to us? There's some differences in these miracles, and you see that Jesus fed the 5,000. It wasn't all that long after that, maybe 8 to 12 months, that he fed the 4,000, performed this miracle. And it's really cool to me, a lot of things and differences. And you might think, well, why did Jesus feel the need to have to do this again? Was he proving to them again, hey, I can feed multitudes time and time again? Maybe yes, maybe no. But here's the difference, and it's a significance to us. The 5,000 was in Jewish land. These were all Jewish people. We're over in Jewish country here. So he fed all of them. But what he's proving when he feeds the 4,000 were fed in The Gerasenes, Decapolis, do you remember that? How about the demoniac of the Gerasenes? That is Gentile country. That were all those 4,000 people, these are the Gentiles. So what Jesus is saying, the application is, I feed the Jews, I feed the Gentiles. What is a Gentile? A Gentile, do you know what the definition of a Gentile is? Someone who is not Jewish. Very simple. Why does it matter to us that Jesus fed the Gentiles? Are any of you Jewish here tonight? It should matter. He fed the, because we're Gentiles. That's why it should matter to us tonight that he feeds the Gentiles. That's us. So there are some differences in these miracles that we're going to see tonight. And I want to tell you something. When we call the Jews God's chosen people, people take a little bit of issue with that because God's word says clearly that I am no respecter of persons. And the truth is, no one is lesser or greater based on where you were born, your race, your sex, whatever, you know, poor, rich. Jesus does not say one is greater and one is lesser. The Jews were God's chosen people. Were you not chosen by God? You were chosen by God. The word of God says you are called, set forth, appointed. You are chosen. I am chosen. And here's the thing. If God says, you know, Ken is my chosen son, and then he comes along and say, and you are too. Does it matter when or where or how we were chosen? We're all chosen by God. And we are unique, but we are equally loved by God. And so he fed us all and he continues to feed us all. There's no lesser. There's no greater. And I'm so thankful that, you know, the Bible says the gospel is first to the Jews and the Gentiles. Why do we care? Why do we care that that's in there? That just means it came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Makes perfect sense to me. You know, this church heard it first, and now the church down the street heard. Frida heard the phone call, and I heard it second. So what? And we take issue with these things that are non-issues in the Bible. So I want to say that we learn so many things from these miracles, and I'm going to go through just a couple of them before we set an overview. Number one, God allows us by his providence to participate with him in the facilitating and performing of miracles. What an awesome thing that he would invite us in as he did with his disciples, that I'm going to break bread and multiply it. I'm going to do the hard part, but then you just start passing it out. What fun had that to be? That had to be. And so we need to understand that. I want to tell you something that I found to be, I was telling Sandra this, I found this to be extremely funny that I'd never really seen this before, but I always look for humor in the Bible, and I always find humor in the Bible. So let me tell you something funny. All of the disciples were present at the feeding of the 5,000. All of them. The Bible says it, calls it out. The 12 of them. There was 12. They were all there. Okay, and they had already seen up until this time, Jesus turned the water into the wine. They had seen healings. They had seen the deliverance of the man. They had seen so many things, but specifically, they saw the 5,000 were fed by Jesus, right? So here they are on the other side of the lake in Canaan, in the Gerasenes territory, in Gentile territory. And again, we have this huge multitude of people, 4,000 this time. They only counted men, by the way. So really, we're talking 18, 20,000, same thing with the 5,000, because they only counted the men. But there's symbolism there. So we're over here, and it's a short time later. It's not that long. And by the way, if you'd ever seen 5,000 people fed miraculously, you would remember it, I hope. Well, maybe and maybe not. Because here they are on the other side of the lake, and Jesus, you know, has compassion. I have compassion on the people. I want to feed these people. And, you know, they've been with me for 3 days, and they're hungry. And not one of the disciples, the disciples started saying, well, where can we get enough food for these lot of people here? We can't do this. Where can we get this? Not one of them said, hey, Jesus, over there, remember? Why don't we do that thing you do where you break the bread and you multiply the food and we get to pass it out? Not one of them. So my question to us tonight is, when we do see awesome miracles and we're an eyewitness to them, how quickly do we forget? How fast do we forget that Jesus fed us? And he fed us supernaturally that time when we didn't have money. and no groceries. He did it. But we forget because we're human. But that doesn't bother Jesus because he's like, I'm going to do it again. I'll just do it again. And we have to remind ourselves, if we see one person healed of cancer, heck, I can do it again. I will do it again. And so there are so many things that I found in here that I found to be so rich and so interesting and that would speak to my heart about who I am and how I believe and how do I forget. And this is one of my favorite miracles, and I love to talk about miracles. And here's a reason I like to talk about miracles. It's found in John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, that's Frida, Janice, Celia, it's Debbie, it's Mark, it's all of us. I say unto you guys, he that believes on me, the works that I do, Jesus, you shall do also. And even much more of the works shall you also do because I go to my Father. So God is saying, you're going to get to do what I do. You're going to get to participate in this. I'm just the teacher. Remember how they called him teacher, teacher? You know, that's not an insult. He was teacher, teacher. He was. And, you know, I just think this is so super, super cool. There were two different locations, and it is so important that we understand that Jesus wants to feed us, that he feeds us daily, and that we have, and when we have so much, and God has, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So if we are satisfied, the Bible says they were all satisfied, and they even had leftovers. What do you do when you have leftovers? Do you just throw them out and pretend? You find a place for them, don't you? You give them to someone. You bless someone with them. And that's what Jesus, we have been given so much by God. And that isn't ours. It's ours to steward. And that's including finances and so many other things. Our time, gifts that God gives us. If he gives you a spiritual gift, that is not just for you selfishly. It's for you to bless other people with. It's not to be used selfishly in any way. And God is no respecter of persons. And he fed them regardless of their race, their gender. He provided for them salvation, deliverance, healing, all types of provision, spiritual and physical. This miracle shows us that God is not just interested in us growing spiritually, but also he's interested in our physical well-being too. And I love that. And many of the miracles that he did were miracles of healing, but I really, really like that he's also our provider, that we can depend on him to provide for us, that we don't have to worry because he feeds the sparrows. And when God, let me say this about God. When God provides, he is not the God of, I'm going to give you enough. You need $10, I'm going to give you enough. If you need bread, I'm going to give you just a loaf of bread and that's it. Let me tell you who he really is. He is an extravagant God. He is not the God of enough. He is the God of more than enough, and he says so. And he loves to bless his children, and he's not going to do the bare minimum. What is the lesson here? I should not do the bare minimum. I should extravagantly love people, extravagantly forgive them, offer mercy to them, and extravagantly bless people, not just. By the way, I see this. I've shared this story before. I'll share it real briefly. Not long ago, it's been on my heart, but it just keeps coming back to me. Is the story of the pastor who he went into the restaurant down. It's a true story down the street from the Stone Church. He pastored. He went down the street and he went into the restaurant and he was eating, and it was on a Sunday after church, later in the evening, and he said, one of the waitresses came up to him and said, oh, thank God you're not from that church down the street. Said, we just dread those people coming in. They never tip, they never give, they never, you know, nothing like that. And he's the pastor. And he got up on a Sunday morning, he goes, that's enough. You have shamed me and him. He said, our God, and was talking like I'm talking, is an extravagant God. We are to bless people, not we are to do what we can. I'm not saying you have to give what you don't have. But we have been given so much. We have the ability to do so much, and sometimes we don't. We don't want to be selfish because God was not selfish with us. And providing food in such a miraculous way is Jesus letting us know clearly that he is our source and he is our only source. And sometimes we do take the blessings, we take the blessings so for granted. But I want to tell you a little bit about this situation. This is the only miracle, right? You can write this down if you're taking notes, that is recorded in all four Gospels. Is that important? It is important. Because remember what I tell you, that if an account of something that happens is recorded in one gospel, like in the case of John for one of the miracles, everything you need to know is in there, in John. You better study it real good because it's the only place it's recorded. If, however, it's recorded in two books or three books, if it's recorded in two books, one confirms the other. Do you understand where I'm going? If it's recorded in three books, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. If it is recorded in all four books, you better study it and you better hold it up side by side so that you get all of the rich information that's there. Now, let me tell you something about this. This was recorded in the three synoptic gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels only mean the similar gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are similar gospels. John is written in a totally different way. And let me tell you something about John. John gives us more detail than any of the others. And if you don't read, if you were to just read this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you would never get it all. A light bulb comes on when you start reading it in John. Let me give you some examples of that. In John 6:8, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, this is in John, one of his disciples. Now, the other writers just said the disciples, period. We don't know who they're talking. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, so we have a speaker here, a specific person. There is a lad here. The others didn't say that. Now we know we have actual people in this miracle. It's not a parable. It's a miracle. And there is a lad here, so we know he's young. We know he's 12 or under, by the way, who had five barley loaves. Oops, wait a minute. Before, the other writers just told us loaves. We now have barley loaves. We now know. Anybody know what a barley loaf tastes like? Barley loaves. And we have two fish. No, we have two small fish now. The other fish, they get two small fish. But what are they among so many? What does that matter among so many? That food would feed approximately two people. As I've said before, a fish fillet sandwich and you're done. Two loaves, you know, come on, you know, five loaves, two fish, you know, the weekly special at McDonald's, and that's what it would feed. But here's the thing. We see that John is writing in more detail, and so much detail. The disciples are pretty good at math because I'm gonna read you something and you're gonna get it pretty soon. And they said, Luke said this. He said, and the day began to wear away. Then the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away. By the way, Jesus never ever sends anyone away, especially anyone hungry. My advice to us is if someone is hungry, that we never send them away because Jesus never did it and we should never do it either. But that was their solution to it. Just send them away that they can go into town, put the problem back on them, in other words. Don't help them. Put the problem back on them. Into the other towns, but I'm going to prove to you why they said that. They couldn't even feed themselves, much less someone else. Have you ever been in a position where you hardly have enough for yourself and then God's asking you to help someone else? Let me tell you, that's a good place to be in because God will take your little and multiply it into a lot if you will give it to him, if you'll let him let you be broken. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more but these five loaves and two fishes, except that we could go and buy some meat for all these people. So they're looking to a very physical solution for an impossible problem. Like, how can we fix this? you can't fix it. It's too big. It's an impossible problem that needs a all things are possible God. My impossible problem, I need to take to a all things are possible God. And you got to understand, John the Baptist was just beheaded. They just lost a friend. This is not a good time for you to be asking us to do stuff, Jesus. We just lost our buddy, our friend. And by the way, wasn't he your cousin too? You know, why aren't you all grieving, you know, carrying on? But there's going to be times in your life, and I want to say this, that you may have lost someone or something or relationship, and you're struggling with your own personal stuff. And your own sorrows and your own heartache and grief. And God's going to ask you for something. He's going to ask you, right, Debbie, when it's inconvenient. But let me say something. When you think of that, Deb, you already know, and I already know, the cross was inconvenient. When we're in pain and we're having to minister to someone, I want you to remember Jesus hanging on the cross and saying, Lord, forgive them. I want you to remember Jesus hanging on the cross and turning to the man and saying, this day you'll be with me in paradise. I want you to remind yourself of Jesus looking down and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't understand. They can't comprehend this. It is inconvenient, but God often asks us that because he wants to test us and see if we love him more than our own. Are we going to be selfish with what he's given us, the ability to minister to others? And it is going to be inconvenient. Mark 6:31, Jesus, and he said to them, come you yourselves apart to a desert place and rest for a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had so no leisure as time to even eat. Have you ever been in that position that you did not have time to even eat yourself, and yet somebody else has a need? And it's like, I know that any nurses and doctors and other professions can speak to that, that sometimes you yourself have maybe even the same need, but maybe you're hungry, but the baby needs to be fed. Maybe you're hungry, but the kids need to be picked up at school. But it's never going to be convenient. But the Bible says, look every man on the thing of others, not on the things of ourselves. And Jesus said this. He said, feed my sheep. He never said, send my sheep away. Send my sheep away. Let my sheep find food for themselves. He said, no, feed my sheep. And he told them, he said, give them to eat. And he said, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth and give them to eat? But it's interesting. What I thought was interesting, we have another person that John mentions that I just find so wonderfully amusing. John 6:5-9, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come to him, he said to Philip, why'd you pick me, Jesus? Oh my goodness, why did you have to call my name? Where shall we buy food that these may eat? This is really funny. Poor Philip. Jesus just called him out. Why are you laying this responsibility on me, Jesus? I can remember Philip thinking, are you serious? I can't feed these people. We're out here in the desert. I haven't eaten. I'm tired. We just lost a friend. I don't have food for myself. Why are you calling me out? And sometimes we're in a desert place and a dry place and lots of things have happened. And we're hungry too. But we have to remember something. When they get fed, we're going to get fed too. When Jesus starts breaking the bread, when you start giving him the little time you have left in your day, the little food you have left, you give it to the neighbor anyway. When you start allowing Jesus to multiply, you got to realize I'm going to get fed too. And so Jesus, the Bible says, you know, he did this to test Philip. But I like that. Jesus is going to test Philip. And Philip had no real idea about it. So Philip starts answering him from his head, not from his heart, and not from a place, may I say, of remembering the previous miracle. If I was Philip, I'd be like, oh my goodness, what can I draw from? Well, maybe the 5,000. Maybe I could. No, he's still thinking with this carnal mind that we have. And he's saying, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough for them, and that even every one of them could take a little bit, like a little bite. He's trying to do the math. So far, Philip is good at math. Math 101 says you can't do this. And I give him high marks because he's got that much figured out. But there's going to come a time in our life when we don't have enough. Not enough food, not enough money, not enough time, not enough faith. But Jesus, he's still faithful, and he's still there for us. And another point I want to make is there was someone in the crowd that was mentioned only by the lad. This is a very young boy, and he had to be willing to give what he had too. Wow, is it good to teach our children it, to honor God, to give it to God, to give it to Jesus. And he gave up the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish, and when he did, really, he gets such credit. This young child, even a young child, can facilitate a miracle. There are so many lessons here. Give Jesus what you have. Give Jesus your little. If it has to be broken, let it be broken. And stop saying you can't trust God. We can trust God. You know, sometimes we'll tell God, I can't give you that. I don't want to give you that. Whether it's tithe, whether it's our problems, whatever it is. And it's not that we can't, it's that we won't. Because if we do it, God is going to multiply it. And the grocery store has never been our provider. Our job has never been our provider. If we think that way, we're so, so wrong. All these people were fed, and they began to gather up the leftovers, and there was so much that there was more than enough for everyone. I like that everyone is satisfied in Christ. I like that even to this very day, we're going to ask our musicians to come and play. But what I like about this miracle and hearing about this miracle is that to this very day, we're coming to the table of the Lord, and we come and we break bread. And every time we do, we should remember how many times Jesus broke bread. That's what he did. And every time he did, it was multiplied. And then the end time when he did it, before he died at the Passover supper, he broke that bread, symbolic of his body. And when he broke that bread on the cross, it became the bread of life. And when it did, we all get some. We still do. And we will never, ever be without, and we'll always be satisfied. We're gonna worship now.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.